The book of Romans tonight. If you'll turn to Romans chapter number 1, I just have a few thoughts that I want to share with you tonight that I believe is in keeping with our missions revival, the Lord's table tonight. And I want to talk to you about the heart attitudes of the gospel. There's some heart attitudes that you and I ought to have as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And Paul is sharing with them in chapter number 1 about the good news. And I want you to begin reading with me, if you would, please, Romans chapter number 1. And find, if you would, verse number 14. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, I am debtor. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I took a small nap this afternoon to rest myself. I'm reminded of a commercial, an advertisement that came on the television set. You know, it was in between a ball game or a whatever that was. And after a certain program tonight, there's going to come on a program of whether or not you're friended by God. Imagine, they said, if God friended you. And then the next statement was, imagine if God unfriended you. Now, this is a television program coming on a major network in a national audience. If God friended you or unfriended you. And I thought to myself, first of all, number one, you don't have a clue. Number two, they don't know anything about God. And number three, can I tell you something? Jesus said He's the friend of sinners. Isn't that good? You don't ever have to worry about the Lord hitting a button unfriending anybody. Now, you know what? Used to, when a couple kids would get in a little schoolyard brawl, you know how buddies were or whatever, you know, well, I'm just not going to be your friend anymore. You remember that, you know? And you know, you'd be all upset and everything, and you'd get over it 5 minutes later, and y'all'd be playing hopscotch or throwing a rock or skipping stones or whatever. You know, lasted about 5 minutes. But, you know, social media is one of the funniest things. I don't have anything to do with the message tonight, but I thought it'd be good and interesting to talk about. Social media is a funny thing. If somebody unfriends a person, that is colossal. I mean, it's awful. It's the end of the world. If you unfriend me, I'm not going to fall apart. Okay? And if somebody unfriends you, you shouldn't fall apart. Okay? Well, I'm just going to show them I unfriend you. Oh, how terrible. Oh, caught me right in the heart. Folks, quit. Let's quit living with things on our feelings, on our shoulders about stuff, you know? Let's just be men and women of God. Let's be adults. Amen? And not get all bent out of shape over this childish stuff as it relates to social media. It can be a good tool, but be careful that you don't allow it to be an addiction. Amen. And I'm done with that. But imagine if God unfriended you or friended you. Well, I'm glad I don't have to imagine it, because He's my friend. He's the friend of sinners. And you're going to find in this passage that not only is He our friend, but we ought to share our friend with others. Amen? And I believe that's important. I believe there ought to be some heart attitudes that we have. And the first of all, we ought to have a grateful heart. Look at verse number 14. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks, the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise. But I want to just pull in on three words. I am debtor. I believe the first debt, when we think about debt one owes to another, it means to be under obligation. Paul's not talking about a financial debt, but a spiritual debt. And I believe when it comes to this matter of salvation and the gospel, we're first of all a debtor to God. There is a sense in which we are indebted to God for everything that He's done for us, that there ought to be a gratefulness within our heart. When Paul thought about all that Jesus had done for him, where Jesus had found him, called himself the chief of sinners, he said, and where the Lord had brought him to, and the very fact that Jesus had loved him and saved him, he said, I'm a debtor, I'm indebted, I have a grateful heart. It reminds me of the story of Ed. Happens every Friday evening, almost without fail, when the sun resembles a giant orange and is starting to dip into the ocean. Old Ed comes strolling along the beach to his favorite pier, clutched in his bony hand is a bucket of shrimp. Ed walks out to the end of the pier, where it seems he almost is in a world all to himself. The glow of the sun is a golden bronze now. Everybody's gone except for a few joggers on the beach. And then standing out on the end of the pier, Ed is all alone with his thoughts in a bucket of shrimp. Before long, however, he's not alone, because up in the sky, thousands of white dots come screeching and squawking and winging their way toward the lanky frame standing there on the end of the pier. Before long, dozens of seagulls have enveloped him, and their wings are fluttering and flapping wildly. Ed stands there tossing shrimp to the hungry birds. As he does so, if you listen closely, you can hear him say with a smile, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." In a few short minutes, the bucket will be empty, but Ed doesn't leave. He stands there, lost in his thoughts, as though transported to another time and place. Invariably, one of the gulls will land on his sea-bleached, weather-beaten hat, an old military hat he's been wearing for years. When he finally turns around and begins to walk back toward the beach, a few of the birds hop along the pier with him until he gets to the stairs, and then they too fly away, and old Ed quietly makes his way to the end of the beach and on home. If you were sitting there on the pier with your fishing line in the water, Ed might seem like a funny old feller or a guy that's a sandwich shy of a picnic. To onlookers, he's just another old codger lost in his own weird world, feeding the seagulls with a bucket of shrimp. The sad fact is that they don't even really know who he is. His name's Eddie Rickenbacker. He was a famous hero in World War II. He became a believer. One of his flying missions across the Pacific, he and his crew member went down in a bomber. Miraculously, all of them survived. They crawled out of the plane, climbed into a life raft, and Captain Rickenbacker and his crew floated for days on the rough waters of the Pacific. They fought sun, they fought sharks, most of all, they fought hunger. By the eighth day, their rations ran out, no food, no water. They were hundreds of miles from land. No one knew where they were, and they needed a miracle. That afternoon, they had a simple devotional service and prayed for God to work a miracle in their lives. They tried to nap, and Eddie leaned back, pulled that military cap over his nose, and time dragged. All he could hear was the slap of the waves against the raft, and then suddenly, Eddie felt something land on top of his cap. It was a seagull. Old Ed would later describe how he sat perfectly still planning his next move. With a flash of his hand and a squawk from the gull, he managed to grab it and he wrung its neck and he tore the feathers off, and he and his starving crew made a meal. A very slight meal for eight men. Then they used the part innards of the bird to catch fish. It gave them food and more bait, and the cycle continued. And with that simple survival technique, they endured the rigors of sea until they were rescued 24 days later. Eddie Rickenbacker lived many years beyond that ordeal, but he never forgot the sacrifice of that first life-saving seagull, and he never stopped saying thank you. And that's why almost every Friday he'd walk to the end of the pier with a bucket full of shrimp and a heart full of gratitude. And dear children of God, listen tonight. If that man would be thankful to a seagull, how much more should we be thankful to the God that's reached down and saved our unworthy souls and made us the children of God tonight? We're a debtor to God. But not only should we recognize that, first of all, that we are to have a grateful heart. Secondly, we're to have compassion of heart. He's named debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Notice this, to the wise and to the unwise. Paul couldn't save anybody, but he had the message that could save everybody. And Paul declares his obligation to share the gospel. The Greek would be the civilized, the cultured. The barbarians, the uncivilized, the uncultured. That group, the wise would be the educated, the sophisticated, the unwise, the uneducated, the simple. You see, what he's saying is that the gospel is for everybody, and everybody needs the gospel. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address, said one preacher. How cruel to have discovered the cure for cancer and keep it a secret. How cruel to know the bridge is out and not warn a fellow driver. But it's even more cruel to have the message it can deliver a soul from hell and then keep it to ourselves and never share it with anybody else. You see, God said that I ought to have a grateful heart, then I ought to have a compassionate heart. I'm a debtor. Do you realize I'm a debtor to those around me? I have the message that can change their life. You have the message that can change their life. And we should be sharing the message and the opportunities that God gives us in life and ensure that we're not only thankful to God and have a grateful heart, but we're compassionate toward others and recognize that I'm indebted to tell them the one wonderful news of the saving grace of God in their own lives. Amen? Paul goes on to say, he said, look at verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready. He said, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You see, he had seen it work in other places, and he knew it could work in Rome. There was passion about the gospel. He was ready and eager to preach it and share it and every opportunity. And I just want to remind us tonight that there ought to be an eagerness when we go into the office tomorrow to share Christ. There ought to be an eagerness out in the community to share Christ. Not just with maybe I don't always have the opportunity with my lip, but I ought to always have the opportunity with my life. Because the life opens the door to the lip, to being able to share. You know what? I know that I need to be eager to go where I can go, and I need to be faithful in giving so that others can go where I can't go. That's what our missions revival was all about this week. You see, church, we ought to maintain a heart attitude, a gratefulness to God for the gospel, a compassion for others with the gospel. And then I want to give you the last thing tonight. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. The boldness of heart. A boldness of heart. You see, a grateful heart, a compassionate heart, and a bold heart. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul was well aware of the offense of the gospel. He had been imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Damascus and Berea, laughed at in Athens, called a fool in Corinth, declared a blasphemer in Jerusalem. He was arrested, beaten with rods, whipped, stoned, and left for dead, shipwrecked, spent a night and a day floating on a piece of wreckage out in the ocean. Yet Paul said, I am not ashamed. So reminds me of a little boy out walking his dog, and it was one of those Science 57 dogs. Fella came by and said, well, what kind of dog you have there, sonny? And the little boy said, well, I got a police dog. He said, a police dog? He said, it looked like a police dog. And the little boy said, he's in the Secret Service. And I'm afraid when it comes to the gospel, there's far too many Christians are in the Secret Service. I'm reminded the psalmist said, I'll not hide thy righteousness in my heart. Amen. We're living in a day when everything's coming out of the closet and Christians are running in. Folks, now's the time to let our flag fly, our standard be seen. It's now's the time to be bold for our God. We need to rise up and join the company of the unashamed, to rise up and be counted for Christ. You know why? Because the gospel is the power of God into salvation. Christianity is not a code. It's not a creed. It's not a cause. It's Christ. He's Christianity. And the heart of the gospel is Christ and the cross. And Paul wasn't going to Rome offering men a new religion. He's going to Rome to offer men a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, there's power in the gospel. The power to change lives, to make a difference in people's lives. And what a blessing that is. The word power comes from a word which means dynamic or dynamite. The gospel has within it the omnipotent power of Almighty God. It can set the captive free. John Phillips, one of my favorite writers, I like what he wrote, and I just want to share it with you. He said, the gospel message grips the mind, stabs the conscience, warms the heart, saves the soul, and sanctifies the life. It can make drunken men sober, crooked men straight, and perverse women pure. Isn't that good? It repairs broken lives, restores broken homes, and replaces broken hopes and broken dreams. Folks, the Bible said that we need to be unashamed. Let me talk to you about what kind of attitude you and I need to have as Christians. We need to have a grateful heart. I need to be grateful to God for what He's done for me. Are you grateful tonight? Are you thankful? Can you imagine where you could be but for the grace of God? Wow. Do we recognize we need to have a compassionate heart? You know, if we have something good happen in our lives, we're eager to share it. We want to show it. We usually have slideshows now on the phones to share it. We're eager about it. Why are we not eager to share what the Lord's done for us? Let's have an eagerness about us to serve the Lord, to find ways to make a difference for Him. Journey through Bethlehem's right around the corner. Let's give it our best, church. Let's be a testimony for the Lord. Let's make a difference for Him. And then let's be bold for our God. Now, you know what? I didn't say be obnoxious. There's a difference between being obnoxious and being bold. Okay? And I don't need to be obnoxious. I don't need to be walking up and saying things like, "Boy, I tell you what, if you don't change your ways and get rid of that beer, that ain't going to help anybody. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help them." Beer's not their problem. The lack of Jesus Christ is the problem. You bring them to Christ, He'll fix the beer. It doesn't mean I don't preach against alcohol. I do. But I don't need walking on the job, pointing everybody's sins out and this and that and having a holier-than-thou attitude. God doesn't want us to be obnoxious, but He does want us to be bold, to be unashamed, that we belong to Him. And you know what? As we send our missionaries, you know what you expect of that missionary? You expect that missionary to be bold, don't you? We're sending him to be bold. Well, if he's to be bold for his God, shouldn't you and I be bold for our God tonight? And share him and not be unashamed. Let's have the right heart attitude toward the gospel. Grab some tracts tonight. Invite. There ought not be a week go by in your life you're not inviting somebody to be here in this church, to bring them with you if that's what it needs to take place, to be continually inviting people all the time to be with you in the house of God. I know people that invite other people to this church rather than inviting them to their church. I know that. I've had people tell me. They said, "Well, I know if they come to your church, they'll be saved. They have an opportunity to be saved." I want that kind of testimony, don't you? And I believe that's been the testimony of Calvary Baptist Church for the 50 years of it, almost 50 years of its existence. And let's continue to make that the testimony of this church tonight. Could we bow our heads in prayer tonight?